Thank you so much for Jesus, and thank you for reserving a day that we can come together to worship you. Help us now as we sing these songs of praise, and we're thankful for our brother Tom for leading us in these things. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for what he's done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
This morning to number 386. I'm really thankful that we're able to gather together.
Amen.
Oh, happy day
that fits my choice
on thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glory heart rejoice and spread its raptures all abroad. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day.
Pure, unbounded love.
serve thee as thy host above.
Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, as we gather around this table this day, we thank you so much for loving us and for caring for us, for sending your Son into the world to teach us the things that you'd have us to know and even to die on the cross for our sins. As we partake of this loaf, Father, help us to remember the body of cross of Jesus on that cross, the suffering that he paid for us. Mm-hmm. And help us, Father, to examine ourselves to see that we are worthy to partake of this. Help us in our everyday lives and everything that we do. And help us always to look to him for these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We continue our thanks, our Heavenly Father, for this cup of fruit and vine, which reminds us of that blood that was shed for our sins. Again, Father, let us partake of this in a manner be pleasing to Thee. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As the communion ended, we can now give back to the Lord to further the cause here at this place. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for giving us life as you have, for blessing us in every way. For the material things that we have in this life, Father, we realize that they come from you. As we give back now a portion to carry on the work here at this place, Father. Help us to give in a manner be pleasing to you with a cheerful heart. We pray that the blessings that are given back, Father, will be passed on to others, and that in blessing them, Father, they will glorify you. Thank you so much for the things that we have. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
We have 10 present this morning. Today is April 19th, 2020, for tapering purposes. If you would, at this time, let's mark our song books at number 687. 687 will be the song of invitation. And once you've marked that, let's turn to number 655. 655.
What number was the invitation?
Number 687. Wonderful story of love, tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love, wake the immortal strain. Angels with rapture announce it. Shepherds with wonder receive it. Sinner, oh, won't you believe it? Wonderful story of love.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you all for attending and being with us today. And as we gather together, remember, of course, that we worship God in spirit and in truth. And we're thankful for you all to be here today. In Isaiah chapter 55, at verses 8 and 9, we read the Lord God of heaven telling Isaiah to tell the people, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." The topic today of God and us. What does God want of us? Our Lord Jesus talked about that in his own ministry here. And later on, the Hebrew writer affirms what Jesus said in Hebrews 12 at verse 9. "We all have fathers of the flesh, and we reverence them. Much more God, who's the Father of our spirit, that we may live." Our eternal being is inside us, our spirit. And God has given us that spirit. And he wants us to be a person who loves the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. And our Lord Jesus, when he gave that wonderful statement about love of God, he talked about the disciples loving the Lord and all subsequent generations of time realizing that we did not make ourselves, as the psalmist declared earlier, but God has made us, and we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So here we are as people who look at God's ways, and we're reminded. And you know, memory is such an important matter with us, because when we forget things, we find ourselves in miserable circumstances. Not long ago, I read about, and then here lately I've read about another. One's a man and one's a lady who parked in a big parking lot, did not realize where she was in that parking lot parked. You know, they make those numbers pretty big and everything to tell you that you're in row 20, you're row 15, you're row 6, or row 8. Came out with her grocery items in her hands, and could not find her vehicle, thinking that she found her vehicle because it was one that resembled it. She went up to it to insert her key, and it would not function. There was one of those security men who drove by on his little car, and he saw her in a misery. And she said, "I know this is my car. I know it is. It's just like..." And he had come through at the parking lot and noted that there were several others, that particular model, that particular type of automobile. She had gone to a car that resembled that, but not hers. The same thing was true about the man. He had gone to a car that he thought was his, but he had not gone to the right one. He was helped along the way by each one of these security men, but nevertheless, when we're thinking and we don't remember where we got out of the vehicle and which stand we were in and which location we were, we find ourselves in misery when we get back. We find ourselves miserable. And that's what God is saying. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. The closing of Isaiah 55 and verse 9. When we have a memory of where we were, what we were doing, we're better pleased, better happy. And when we have our memory of what God has said in his word, we have a much better way as well. When we think about this, we're thinking about a way that God himself has set forth for you and me that we ought to live. Our Lord Jesus taught us that we need to be people who love the Heavenly Father and who do his will. And in Matthew 6 and 33, when he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Not your own kingdom, not my own kingdom. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Not my righteousness, not my way of thinking, I'll do this and this right for me and this is happy for me and this is what I'll do to God. No, we're to make His righteousness our righteousness. And so it is that we find ourselves seeking first the kingdom of God and having His righteousness to be our righteousness. We find ourselves approved of God and doing His will in the proper way. What if we find ourselves in miserable circumstances? We're not in the will of God. There's a quotation of a passage of Scripture out of Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, which says, God has not given unto us the spirit of fear, but a power of love and of sound mind. And in that passage of Scripture, when he mentions sound mind, he's talking about the memory that we have. The memory work that we put together about this tells me that this is the right thing to say. This is the right activity to engage in. This is the right substance to drink. This is the right thing to do with my neighbor and my friends. This is the right thing to do because God's Word has so set forth that ideal. And we can find in that Word exactly what we remember is the right thing to do. And we practice that right way of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and at verses 3 and 4, verse 3 tells us regarding that which God wants us to do with our fellow man and how He wants us to be people of prayer with our fellow man. And He tells us this following thing about this. He said, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior." And says in verse 4, 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4, "This who would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth." What does God want of us? He wants all men to be saved, to be delivered. Delivered from what? Delivered from the penalty of sin. Delivered from the leadership of Satan. When Jesus said in John chapter 8 in reference to Satan, he was a liar and a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. And he told those who were listening to him on that day and that occasion, "Even so do you." This is not the right thing for us to behave in, practice in, Jesus says. And he noted that that was not the Father's will for us to follow the ways of the devil. But this, he says, about praying for our kings and rulers and all that are in authority. In 1 Timothy 2, at 2, he says in verse 3, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." Indeed, it is the way that God wants us to live in a fellow man, in a nation of people, praying for rulers and kings and authority. Was an odd thing to be said in the midst of what they were doing in the Roman Empire. For they had men that were determined to have people worship them. They were desiring to punish those who were following Christ Jesus. And the idea was not good. Yet he says to pray for kings and rulers and all that are in authority. Why? Men can change. Men can change their views and their ideals. Many of our people came to this particular country back many years ago, in the 1700s, and found themselves doing what they wished to change. They wished to change from that type of rulership over them that was demanding and demeaning of them. But they soon realized that the more liberty that is given to those who lived in the colonies of this nation on the East Coast at that time were not good, because they expected that to be a gift to them, and why labor for it and why work for it and why do anything extra for it if it's going to be given to you at the end of the day anyway. And so the Boston Tea Party, they didn't want to be taxed on, but neither did they develop an idea that they wanted to grow anything extra for their families to eat and to be sustained by either. They wanted the government to serve them.
Benjamin Franklin was one who led the way in that particular matter. He wanted the people to have a certain amount of property that was given to them. And that amount of property then could be worked by them for whatever they got from it. Thus, the first of those particular things were set up as homes and farms and estates in the New York area, the Delaware area, the Maryland area, the Virginia area. They were set up for people to utilize so that they might themselves benefit from the corn that they grew, from the wheat that they grew, from the beans that they got, from the cows, that the milk that they got. If they didn't go about the process of milking that, they didn't have that. And as a result, this whole nation was changed when they changed their minds about what was being done. When you and I today find ourselves in the midst of a change again that has taken place. And there is a party among us that finds themselves going that route of furnishing to everyone all the particular things that they wish to have. Regardless of any workmanship, regardless of any service, regardless of anyone's effort on that part. And I'm sure that that will change another way when someone else leads and sets up those things, because there are those who want us to go back to that old system that did not work yonder when the days of our founding fathers set up this republic. It's a good thing for you and me to be people who realize that we pray for kings and rulers and all that are in such authority. This is good and acceptable to God, who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. To have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth is affirmed by Paul himself in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 and 2. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 and 2, he tells them, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I have preached unto you, and also by which you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." Notice that point I made earlier regarding our memory, how important our memory is. We get disappointed when we don't remember where we were and what we went on, if it's a parked automobile. If we don't remember the studies that we did about electricity and how that it is so dangerous, if we do not have that to be understood, we could stick our finger into a socket and find death as a result of it, because we will be charged with that electricity. But if we remember to be cautious around that, to remember to put a gloved hand on when we do it, to remember put a particular type of a piece of equipment that will measure if this is a dead line or if it is a live wire there. And because we can do those sort of things, remembering where that particular piece of equipment is located, so we can see that before we get our hands into it and onto it and out of it, there are some of these lines that are so powerful and so magnetic in their ways that when a person gets within just a close proximity, they are pulled into that electricity line. They're pulled into it. They didn't intend for that to be the case. But accidentally, not remembering the danger of it, they got too close and were sucked into the electrical foundation. Notice what he says here about this. He would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. He wants people to come to that knowledge, that way of living, that way of doing that he wants us to do. The Hebrew writer had affirmed about this in Hebrews 4, verse 12. When he said regarding this matter, For the Word of God is alive or quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What's my thought and intent of the heart being? Do I want to be saved as God wants me to be saved? Do I want to have a knowledge of the truth as He wants me to have a knowledge of the truth? How am I going to gain that truth? How am I going to get that truth? The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing wherever it needs to be there that we divide our joints and marrow. Our spirit is so taught that this is the right thing to do. This is a godly thing to do. And let us be people who not only read God's Word, read the Bible, but also find our habits of practicing what He said to do. That's God's plan for us as we live on this earth. We find ourselves doing this, we find ourselves honored of the Lord. When Paul wrote to the brethren at Ephesus through Timothy, in 2 Timothy 3 and 16, he said the Word of God is powerful. He said it's to be that done in the right way so that we can be people who honor the truth of God's Word by the practice of life that we do. What would God have us to be? Saved and knowledgeable of the truth. Are there some things that people are taught these days that are not true? Yes. A church building is not a church. A church building is a gathering place for the church when it gathers and meets together in the worship of God. It would be wrong for us to say that that is a situation where we find ourselves honoring truth to think that the building there is the church. When in fact, we say we're going to church, we're actually going to worship with the church at the building, at the auditorium, at the location. There are many other thoughts in mind. On the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, what did God want of them to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth? What did Peter tell them on that day of Pentecost? Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Notice that they would receive that gift when they received the remission of their sins. And how would they receive the remission of their sins? They would obey Him. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. That's the idea of God's Word when He tells Him to us that we need to be people who honor the truth. And He would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That inspired Word that He's given us has that message for us. And it's a wonderful message indeed. And when we find ourselves reading that, we need to honor His will. Jesus said He would come back someday. In John 14, when He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Not only are these disciples that He's speaking to on that occasion assured of Jesus' return, but as Paul writes to the brethren regarding this in Corinth, he says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body according to that we have done, whether it be good or evil. What's in the sight of God good and acceptable to Him? To pray for kings and rulers and people in authority. That's what Paul wrote to Timothy about there in 1 Timothy 2. But also to say this, to come to salvation and a knowledge of the truth. Whatever the subject is that comes to your mind in mind, we want to be people who look for the truth about that matter and put into practice what is there taught to us. That's God's will for us. If you're subject to Jesus' invitation today, think about your relationship with Him and come and obey Him if you've not done that, as we stand together and as we sing.
Hear the sweet voice of Jesus say, come unto me, I am the way. Hearken the loving call, obey. Come, for He loves you so. Only a step, only a step. Come, for He bled for you and died. He's the same loving Savior here. Jesus the crucified. Open for you the pearly gate. Loved ones for you now watch and wait. Terrible thought to cry too late. Jesus, I come to Thee. Only a step, only a step. Come, for He bled for you and I. He's the same loving Savior yet. Jesus, the
I hate we're going to miss tonight our song time and our fellowship time that we always have a great joy in doing, as well as the wonderful words of these hymns that we sing together. But our times are back, and we're looking forward to this whole thing getting past and getting back together and everything. So let's pray to that end. God bless you all. Be careful as you go.
Sometimes when we do, Father, we pray that You forgive us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.